Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. America's children need universal school choice now more than ever. When government assigns children to schools that are failing every test of quality, safety, learning, and civic literacy, it's saddening that those kids with lifetime earning opportunity cost don't have other opportunities and other choices available to them. Joining us now to discuss the growing need for universal school choice is Mary Claire Amselin, policy analyst on education policy studies at the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation. Mary Claire, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, I know school choice, trust me, this is an issue that we fought here in the Kansas legislature. But school choice programs, for those who don't understand them, allow students to attend schools that meet their learning needs. And studies show time and time again that when students avail themselves of these options, they develop better both academically and as citizens. So why aren't we seeing a greater demand for school choice?
Yeah, when you think about it, it is pretty crazy that in this day and age, we are still assigning students to a school based on their zip code. School choice is something that wealthy parents have been able to exercise for decades. And it's something that low-income parents should be able to choose for their students as well. I think we do see, a pretty strong demand for school choice among parents. Unfortunately, we see a lot of lawmakers standing in the way, which is really unfortunate to see.
Yeah, if you look at it, one-third of Americans, the vast majority, are products of our public schools, cannot name a single branch of government, but the education establishment refuses to release their grip on power. Is this, do you think, because of public teacher unions? Is that what this ultimately comes down to?
Teachers unions are definitely the driving force that's keeping school choice from moving forward. And that's because school choice offers a competition. If public schools were performing great and everyone was happy with their public school and students were thriving and learning well, then there wouldn't be this concern about losing students if students were allowed to choose. And it is really, really sad that we're keeping students in schools that we know aren't working for them, where parents are coming back saying, I don't feel that my child is safe at school. I don't feel like my child is learning at school. That we're saying, the teachers unions are coming along and saying, well, tough, that's how the system works, and you have to keep your child in this school. It's simply wrong that we're doing it this way, but from a policy perspective, it's simply an ineffective way for us to be educating our young people.
Yeah, and it's sad, a near monopoly education system that denies student access to schools that would better serve them is the situation that we're in. A recent Education Next survey demonstrated that 54% of Americans support universal school choice or voucher program, 67% of Hispanics, 53% of African Americans, 47% of Democrats said they supported school vouchers, and disapproval of vouchers had dropped to 31% overall. And it goes even further when you looked at things like tax credit scholarships. That received 57% overall approval, including 68% support amongst Hispanics, 61% support amongst African Americans, 58% support from Democrats. With this kind of bipartisan and broad support, Why can't we make it happen? I don't understand it. Why? I mean, Democrats are supporting it with majorities. Why can't the political willpower be behind it?
So we definitely see support across the board, but you know, as you just went through with those numbers, the minority support for school choice is overwhelming, and it is absolutely clear. But we see, you know, some politicians on the far left and some policymakers saying that this is simply bad, and it's simply bad specifically for minority students. And so I think that this poll is so important, and I'm so glad that we're talking about it, because it shows that there's a huge disconnect between what policymakers say that people feel and what they actually feel. And this is because it is, you know, low-income minority Americans who are stuck in these failing public schools and who deserve options to leave. And so I think it's a matter of speaking frankly to the politicians, saying, you know, you're not representing my interests, you're not representing the interests of the people, and you know, also pushing back against the teachers unions, who, like I mentioned before, are really standing in the way of this meaningful reform.
Is that really what it's going to come down to? Because you've got multiple cases of empirical research on vouchers, education savings accounts, tax credit scholarships that find these programs offer families improved access to high quality schools that meet their child's unique needs. So if you've got all the data, all the research that supports this, the programs improve access to schools that deliver quality education. I mean, is that really what it's going to come down to? Is that people have to start going to their elected representatives that are holding them back and saying, you know, what the heck? I mean, we've got a great example here in Wichita of a minority school that is just, I mean, it's a phenomenal program. And yet Kansas has a terrible school choice record because the KNEA is and the KASB are just so strong. They're the most powerful lobby and the most powerful organized anti-choice organization in the state. Is that really what it's going to take, that we have to put pressure on our lawmakers to stand up to these groups?
I think that that's exactly right, and I think that that needs to happen at the state level. I mean, education is quintessentially a state and local issue. Relatively little funding for overall education does come from the federal government, so it really comes down to people feeling like they have a voice within their state and speaking up and saying that this is something that we not only need but would feed, you know, the driving economic growth of our state and our country at large. So I think that, you know, if we look at the history of education reform, it's always really started with parents speaking up on behalf of their children. And so I think that we're seeing more and more parents do that. And I think that that trend will eventually bode well for the school choice movement.
Well, and tell me if I'm wrong, but as I was reading through some of the research that you guys had available, it seemed like students at private schools are less likely than their public school peers to experience problems such as alcohol abuse, bullying, drug use, fighting, gang activity, racial tension, theft, vandalism. And I was going through all the different criteria, and it was so obvious that weapons-based threats, access to mental health options, counseling, furthermore, access to school choice programs may actually reduce potential for criminal behavior. And yet, the education establishment, it's all about the money. It's all about the buck for them, and it's because they don't want to have to face competition in the marketplace, correct?
I think that's exactly right, and I think that the unfortunately the education establishment is more concerned with preserving the institution of public education rather than pursuing policies that are the best for children. And so if you simply, you know, unbiasedly look at all the facts and you say, okay, well, what policies work the best for kids, then the school choice is obviously the answer. But if you come at it from a perspective of, well, what policy is the best for the public school, for the institution of public schooling, then you might be more inclined to say, you know, let's keep everyone in their district assigned schools. And you know, here at the Heritage Foundation, we've just, you know, long said that what policies that work best for children should be the policy of our states and of our nation. And school choice certainly gets us there.
Well, and the sad part is, you know, every time there's an election, every time there's a school bond vote, they trout out that old rhetoric that says it's all about the kids, it's for the kids. Sadly, this is the one institution where, when it comes to school choice, they pivot. It's no longer about the kids. It's about the institution. It's about the school. It's about the bureaucracy. It's about the union. If they truly were interested in doing what's best for the kids, they would be encouraging competition in this school, in school. They would be encouraging school choice and let the parents decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen time after time that competition between schools encourages schools to step up their game. And so, you know, I sort of reject the idea that school choice is bad for the public schooling system, because I think that we've seen time and time again where school choice programs pop up, the public schools end up performing better because they have an incentive to now. And so I think, you know, it really is the rising tide that lifts all boats, and we should encourage competition between schools.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mary Claire, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I found a lot of the stuff that you had on the website just fascinating. There's some great data there. If people are interested and they want to read some of this and they're going back to confront their school board members or their PTOs, where can they go for some of this data? What's the website?
Yeah, so you can check out heritage.org. That's our website. And then if you hit the Explore Issues tab, we have an education section where you can find all of our work on not just school choice, but on higher education issues, on school safety issues, on campus free speech issues, anything in the realm of education policy that you're interested in, you can find there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Mary Claire, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing, you guys do wonderful work and highlighting this issue, because school choice, if we really do want to make a change and we really want to defend our children and do what's best for them, this is one of the key options. And I appreciate you bringing it to our listeners this evening. Thank you very much. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
After the break, we'll talk with Dave Trabert from the Kansas Policy Institute. You're listening to Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.